I'll be reading Acts 3:2-6. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk."
Good morning. Welcome to all of our visitors, which there are many visitors with us today. And we're proud that you're with us. Some of you have become regular visitors with us, and we're just proud that you're here. And I invite all of you to come back. And some of our friends are back we hadn't seen in a little while, so we're just glad to have all of you here today. We've got some out traveling or away, but we're just glad everybody is here with us today. I want to remind you that two weeks from today, we start our new Sunday school class that will be for all of our teens and adults. We'll meet in here at 9 o'clock. Normally, we've been starting at 9:15. We'll start that at 9 o'clock. It is on sex and gender. I don't think it'll be a class. I just want to encourage you to come. It's just, I think, that important, that well done, that you need to come and be a part of that. But that starts 2 weeks from today. Next Sunday, next Saturday, is the Christian School Fall Festival. And I hope that many of you will be able to come. That's always a good time. Normally after the Fall Festival, y'all normally like for me to preach because I have very little voice and it's very short. But next week you even get a better treat than that. Carl is going to speak next week, and he's going to give us a report on his mission trips. And so I know you want to come and hear about that and support him. So next Sunday morning, Carl will be speaking, and good Lord wills, I'll be here, but you won't have to listen to me. So that'll work well. Retreat. Lots of announcements, but I want to make sure. Coming up the second weekend in November is our family retreat at Crystal Springs. Want to make sure that you're planning on being with us. Get that on your schedule. I believe that's, 12, 13, 14? If I'm not right on the dates, I'm close. So that weekend, plan on being with us. Waiting for final confirmation, but I'm going to leak it. Rumor has it David Dunn will be our speaker for that weekend. Will be with us all weekend. That's always entertaining, thought-provoking, and educational. So just, if you can, change your schedule, be with us, because it'll be a great time for food, fellowship, and learning. It's hard to beat. Hard to beat. We're going to talk today a little bit about value in an interesting way, about do we look for the greatest of value? What is value, and do we often accept less than the greatest of value? Are we looking for the most important, and that of highest value? Spending a great deal of time with auditors, and I know many of you get nervous if you get that letter from the Internal Revenue Service or someone that you're being audited. And I never like those letters from the IRS that I get occasionally. I just forward them straight on to my accountant and let him deal with them, and I'm thankful for that. And so far, they've not been painful. Normally, they're just wrong, and it works out. But In my job, we spend about 4 months out of the year with the auditors right there in our building. So we kind of get used to that. It just goes with it. But for those who audit, whatever it be, sometimes they will find a problem, whether that be in public or private auditing, and where somebody, there's a payback or something needs to be done. And they'll tell you if they say, you owe back so much money, and the person readily agrees, they know they missed a lot. You know, if they're happy about it, they know there was a lot more they didn't uncover. Well, I think sometimes in life there's a lot more that we don't uncover, but it's on the positive side, not something that is negative. And we're going to see that in Acts chapter 3. We're going to read again what Sam read for us. We want to look at that, and it's a little bit of a lengthy read. We're going to read 26, 27 verses, but I think it's important for us to read the scripture. It's important, the consistency of Peter's message to these first century Christians, but it's important for us to look at the situation when we talk about value, because I want us to look in our own lives and say, when are we living lives of faith, seeking the greatest of value? Seeking the greatest of value, or do we find ourselves consumed with lesser things? Are we missing the greater, searching for the lesser? Pick up at chapter 3 and verse 1. We just finished talking about Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost. We're following that. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. For the Jewish people, there were three times of prayer. It was at 9 in the morning, it was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was at sunset. So they're going up in the temple to pray. And Peter and John are going there. Even though they are certainly disciples of Christ, they're Christians, they're still regularly going to the temple. And you know, we've talked before, the church spreads very often. Where do we see Paul and Barnabas and Silas and John Mark? They're in the tabernacles in even these Asian cities that they go to. So they're going up in the afternoon to pray, and they're going to find this man. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. I don't know whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. Not this text, but the way things apply today, and it's a little different situation. This man has no way to make a living, so he goes to the temple and begs, because why? Those are religious people going to prayer, probably a good place to ask for assistance. Now, what concerns me a little bit is today, in our society, people stand outside the Walmart, not outside our churches. And I don't know what that says about us. You'll just have to think about that. That's not my sermon. We're the more generous people are. Maybe it's at the Walmart. But I hope not, because we do try to help people. But here's a man who is crippled. He can't support himself. He can't even glean, which is the system, the Jewish system for people who didn't have, could at least go to the fields and glean. You couldn't pick the fields clean, okay? Because we see that in our Bible study, in the story of Ruth, don't we? Where she goes to glean for herself and Naomi and winds up in the field of Boaz. But here's a man who can't, so he's begging every day for his subsistence. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And here's where we want to talk about value. He sees Peter and John and he asked them for money. That's what he does. And I'm not degrading this man at all. That's how he gets by. That's how he supports himself. But he asked Peter and John for money. But what we're going to find out is there are much greater things that God has in store than money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have." It's almost hard. That's one of those passages you memorize. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, to thee I give." It's what Peter says to him. Now, I'm wondering what this gentleman's response is. I don't know whether his face drops, whether he's curious. He's disappointed. He thinks this guy is kind of crazy. Now, why do I ask that question? Because what's he expecting? Money to get by. And Peter just says, "I don't have any money." And the guy's initial thought might have been, "Well, then won't you get away from in front of me, because this crowd isn't lasting that long, and this is, you know, I need all the opportunities I can get." Because he is not seeing the greater value. Doesn't understand the greater value. And Peter and John say, "I don't have any money." And this guy says, "Probably, maybe." I'm not even going to say probably. I'm speculating. "I don't need a sermon. I don't need advice. I've been here for years. Somebody has to bring me here. This is my lot." Peter says to him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Few pennies to get through the day and the ability to walk. Which of those is of the greater value? The ability to walk. Because this gentleman is not begging because he's too lazy to do anything else. he's having to beg because he has the inability to get out and to work. And now, not only does he have the ability to support himself, but he doesn't have to depend on other people to carry him around. He can walk. And there's so many things we take for granted. But the ability to come and go freely, to move, get up and down without being dependent on someone else. Rise and walk, or just walk. Man, what a greater value. Now he's thinking, I wasn't sure this was going anywhere, but this has turned out wonderfully. I can walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Have you seen the Crestor commercial where the lady gets the good news that her cholesterol or whatever's down at the doctor? I'm down with Crestor. And how is she? She's smiling and high-fiving everybody in the waiting room and in the park, and she's gathering flowers. Why? I'm not advertising the drug. I don't know anything about the drug. But it's kind of a corny commercial, but I remembered it, and that's all they wanted. She's excited because why? She's gotten a good report from the doctor. How's this man reacting? The man who couldn't walk now can walk. Not only can he walk, and it's not like we'll get you a cane and some crutches, you can walk. What can this man do? He can jump and walk. And if we weren't in church, I bet he could dance. He is excited because now his world, his life has changed. He no longer is dependent on others. No longer does he have to beg. No longer does he have to sit on the sidelines. He can walk and move. And here's something really important, because this man is faithful. He's praising God. He's thankful to God that God has made a difference in his life. He thought he was just going to get enough food, hopefully enough money to get through the day, to be able to eat, and maybe have some shelter. And now he can walk. Oh, of such greater value that God gave to him. The ability to walk and to run and to jump. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, here's going to be a question for them in just a moment. Why were they filled with such wonder and amazement? Well, it's obvious, isn't it, that something great had happened. This man that we knew to be a cripple. I mean, we'd seen him, we've come to prayer every day for years, and he's been there. I've used this analogy, but it happened. Even this last week, I was in the courthouse, and somebody mentioned Mr. Aubrey. And he's the blind gentleman who used to run the concession stand when it was in the courthouse. And people still remember him because, you know, he was there for years and years and years and was a fixture. And people would talk about how he could get out. But I'm going to tell you, it would be the same thing if Mr. Aubrey, who had been blind for years and years, we all knew it, could see. This man who'd been crippled, they'd seen him for years and years and years and known it, is now walking. They're amazed. But the reason I question you why they're amazed is the same question really Peter's going to ask them. What had they really been expecting from God? Why were the people of God, who knew of God's great power, his deliverance of his people from slavery and from sin, from famine, from lack of water, from disease, they're amazed because they had forgotten the greatness of God and his power. Certainly you'd be thankful for God's action in this man's life, because we know that even as God's people, God doesn't cure every disease or every infirmity. We're prayerful. God makes certain great differences in our lives. But it's not that God isn't powerful, isn't caring, isn't even we're faithful, but we live in a fallen world. We've discussed that so many times. But we know what God's power is, or we should. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you?" That's Peter's question. Why are you surprised at this? "Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" Now, what's Peter going to acknowledge for them? And it's important. We could talk about Peter's character here. But Peter's going to tell them, "John and I didn't do this. Don't be amazed at us. This is not new. This is not New Testament differences. This is about God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the Holy One, the Holy and Righteous One, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given his complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that Jesus, his Christ, would suffer." So Peter is telling them that, yes, we are disciples, followers of Jesus, and you know this, but it is God's power that has healed this man through the authority of Jesus, his Son, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the one whom you put to death, and he'd already talked to them about many of these. It is through Christ, through the authority of Christ, that this man has been healed. We didn't do it, but it was God, and it's the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're not declaring to you a new God. It is the God of Abraham, through whom we have a covenant, Peter would tell them. Through whom we have relationship, and Jesus is his Messiah, the Anointed One. And so don't be amazed at this, because God's power, as you know, is so much greater than this. And so this man asked for money, not realizing that God was able to deliver something so much greater, and that was the ability to walk. Now let me ask you a question. Is that the greatest of values? Is that the greatest that he or that we should expect and anticipate? It's a great question. One that I want us to think about for just a second before we read the rest of the story. Because one, we are thankful to God that God provides for us. And we're thankful to God that in times of needs, we can receive assistance and can be of assistance of others, to others. And that's part of what we do as God's people. But we understand that God even works in greater ways. That God works in our lives, and that God answers our prayers, and God changes our situations. And we're thankful for that. That God cares for each one of us and is mindful of each one of us. And that God blesses us in unbelievable ways. Absolutely unbelievable ways. When we stop and think about it. However, is there a greater value? "Repent then and turn to God," Peter says, "so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And that he may send the Christ whom has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people.' Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples of the earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." What's of even greater value? greater value is, and Jesus tells them and reminds them what the prophets have known, that Jesus is coming and that Jesus will return again. That the Messiah will return. And what happens when Jesus returns? Everything will be made right. Are things right in Jerusalem in the first century? Nope. Everything's not right. And I'm not talking about just among those people. Although they had their issues. They had oppression from an outside government. They had their own struggles within. People were blind. People were crippled. People were dying. People were sick. People had family issues. Had all kinds of struggles. It's the same today, isn't it? It's the same today. Does God bless us and help us through those times? I believe the answer to that is absolutely yes. I believe God prospers us. I believe God answers our prayers for comfort, for healing, for blessings for ourselves and for others. However, even in the midst of that, we still live in this world that is fallen. It's not the greatest of values. The greatest of values is Jesus returns where everything is made new and right and restored as God intended it. And that's what Peter says to them. When what? When the former things, John will tell us, the former things have passed away. Where there is no death, no sickness. Where even God himself will wipe the very tears from our eyes. That is of the greater value. That is what we look forward to. Thankful to God for the blessings of every day. But thankful for the forgiveness of sins and the freedom from the consequences of sin. We'll struggle for a little while, and then we'll always be where the Lord has prepared a perfect place for us, where everything is made new and restored. That's Peter's message. So, as we close, we can be in at least four places in our lives. We can just be suffering our way through, dependent on our own strength, our own intellect, and maybe our family and some friends to get through the struggles that this life has. Or maybe we can get through because we're strong physically, mentally, emotionally, all of those things, and we're able to be pretty successful from the world's terms. In other words, I can pay my bills, and I can go places and do things, and I have access to lots of good things, and so we might not depend on God at all. But in the end, we can't be made right with God on our own. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, I might survive, I can survive in this world without faith. I'm not sure how you do that, but it's doable. Lots of folks do. But won't get to share when everything is made right. Or we could be like the beggar. And so if we're just looking for God to get us through. Now, let's make sure we're clear. When Jesus teaches us to pray, what does he teach us to pray? Give us today our daily bread, right? Give us today our daily bread. Each day has enough problems. And so in some ways, depending daily on God is a good thing. But this man had just looked to, if I can just get enough money to get through today, but Peter and John were able to give him something way beyond that, beyond what he realized. So sometimes we just come to God just as a place to get through. As our faith grows, our reliance on God, hopefully we move it to a place where we realize God has great blessings for us. And I'm not talking about just material things. I'm talking about spiritual blessings. Where we don't have to just survive through the days. But God allows us to walk. To not have spirits of timidity or fear. but to bravely and excitedly and confidently go through life, not because of our own strength, but because He enables us to walk. Because we're going to see that the Spirit fills Peter, and he knows what to say. And the people are amazed because they realize that Peter and John are not learned men. But the Spirit had filled them and used them. And so they could go about God's business in brave ways. God has great blessings for us. But what God is really calling us to is to be people who are part of and knowledgeable and anticipating the excitement and the blessings of the covenant. Where we move beyond just getting through the day. We move beyond just earthly blessings, which are abundant. But we look forward to resurrection and being in eternity, spending eternity with God in a blessed place He has for us. Because that's the real blessing, isn't it? That's the blessing. Because our lives here are short. And if our focus is only here, then we've missed the real blessings of God. If my faith is just about getting through these struggles, which is not all a bad thing, there are times when we're there and I'm glad God helps us through. But are we looking forward to what God really has in store for us? How did Jesus suffer the cross? How did Jesus resist the temptations of Satan? Jesus is a man. Scripture tells us that. That's biblical. Son of God, but is a man. And Satan says, if you'll just worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. They'll be yours. I don't know about you. I hope I don't have a price. I'm just going to be honest with you. I hope I don't have a price for my integrity. But I tell you, if I do, I can tell you this, it's a pretty high one. Nobody's even gotten close to it. Not even close. Not even close. But I'm going to tell you, if someone said, you can have the whole world and everything that's in it and control it and have it without threat of overthrow or whatever, that'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? I'm asking you, I mean, you think about that question. Whatever it is you're drinking, you know, that's the promise that comes out. But how, to Jesus, but how does Jesus deal with that? Because Jesus understands this world is just temporary. Even if I could rule the world, it is temporary because what? I know that God is going to restore all things. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth where the selfishness and the pain of sin are gone, and we will be in this place of perfection forever. And so Satan, Jesus resists Satan because he understands greater things are coming. Greater things, something of greater value is coming. How do we live? Hopefully growing in faith. This is not a lesson to make anybody feel bad, but I hope that it moves us to the point of saying, I don't want to just come to God just to get me through the day. Although I hope you pray every day that God helps you through the day. I do. I hope you do. Jesus said to pray for God's blessing for every day. And that we take those one at a time. But I hope it's not where we just, you know, pray my paycheck cashes at the end of the week kind of deal. Or that, Lord, that you just make me successful here. I hope our dreams are not just that I can be rich or famous or good looking. I've given up on the good looking long ago. That rich ain't looking so good either. You know. Famous. Infamous is probably a better chance than famous for me. You may be there. But sometimes those are the things that consume us, right? They consume us. And we're just human. But realize that Jesus is going to come and make all things new. And that as heirs of the promises of God, as a part of the covenant made to Abraham centuries, millennia ago, applies to us. To be part of the family of God, to be a great people, a great nation, whom God blesses. Peter says to them, you killed the Messiah, but God raised him from the dead, and he's coming again to make all things new. You just were looking for money. God had the power for you to walk, but he has greater things than that. He has an eternal home for you where everything is just right all the time, where there is none of the struggles that we have. Jesus died on a cross as a payment for our sins, that we might be freed from the cost of sin. He shed his blood that we might be washed, that we might be cleansed. As for those of you in the Bible class this morning, we can be washed in the waters of baptism to be cleansed, not of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. It's the occasion where we come in contact with the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. So we become children of God and heirs of eternal life. It's so important that we spend our lives in service to God, looking forward to the things of greater value. The things of greater value, not just for prosperity today, but for that great time when this short life is over, when Jesus returns and we can be home with him. That's our message. That's the gospel message. That we can be children of God and live and be a part of his family for eternity. If you need to come today, do that while we stand and sing.